The Return of the King, Cassette 2.
Chapter 2. The Passing of the Grey Company. Gandalf was gone, and the thudding hooves of Shadowfax were lost in the night when Merry came back to Aragorn. He had only a light bundle, for he'd lost his pack at Parthgarlan, and all he had was a few useful things he'd picked up among the wreckage of Isengard. Haazofel was already saddled. Legolas and Gimli, with their horse, stood close by.
"So four of the company still remain," said Aragorn. "We'll ride on together. But we shall not go alone, as I thought. The king is now determined to set out at once. Since the coming of the Winged Shadow, he desires to return to the hills under cover of night."
"And then whither?" said Legolas.
"I can't say yet," Aragorn answered. "As for the king, he'll go to the muster that he commanded at Edoras 4 nights from now. And there, I think, he'll hear tidings of war, and the riders of Rohan will go down to Minas Tirith. But for myself, and any that will go with me..."
"I for one," cried Legolas.
"And Gimli with him," said the dwarf.
"Well, for myself," said Aragorn, "it is dark before me. I must go down also to Minas Tirith, but I don't yet see the road. An hour, long prepared, approaches."
"Don't leave me behind," said Merry. "I've not been of much use yet, but I don't want to be laid aside, like baggage to be called for when all is over. I don't think the riders will want to be bothered with me now, though, of course, the king did say that I was to sit by him when he came to his house and tell him all about the Shire."
"Yes," said Aragorn, "and your road lies with him, I think, Merry. But don't look for mirth at the ending. It will be long, I fear, ere Theoden sits at ease again in Meadowseld. Many hopes will wither in this bitter spring." Soon all were ready to depart. 24 horses, with Gimli behind Legolas and Merry in front of Aragorn. Presently they were riding swiftly through the night. They had not long passed the mounds at the fords of Isen when a rider galloped up from the rear of their line.
"My lord," he said to the king, "there are horsemen behind us. As we crossed the fords, I thought that I heard them.
Now we are sure they are overtaking us, riding hard." Theoden at once called a halt. The riders turned about and seized their spears. Aragorn dismounted and set Merry on the ground, and drawing his sword he stood by the king's stirrup. Éomer and his esquire rode back to the rear. Merry felt more like unneeded baggage than ever, and he wondered, if there was a fight, what he should do. Supposing the king's small escort was trapped and overcome, but he escaped into the darkness, alone in the wild fields of Rohan, with no idea of where he was in all the endless miles? No good, he thought. He drew his sword and tightened his belt. The sinking moon was obscured by a great sailing cloud, but suddenly it rode out clear again. Then they all heard the sound of hooves, and at the same moment they saw dark shapes coming swiftly on the path from the fords. The moonlight glinted here and there on the points of spears. The number of the pursuers could not be told, but they seemed no fewer than the king's escort, at the least. When they were some 50 paces off, Éomer cried in a loud voice,
"Halt! Halt! Who rides in Rohan?"
The pursuers brought their steeds to a sudden stand. A silence followed, and then in the moonlight a horseman could be seen dismounting and walking slowly forward. His hand showed white as he held it up, palm outward, in token of peace. But the king's men gripped their weapons. At 10 paces the man stopped. He was tall, a dark standing shadow. Then his clear voice rang out,
"Rohan? Rohan, did you say? That is a glad word. We seek that land in haste from long afar."
"You have found it," said Éomer. "When you crossed the fords yonder you entered it. But it is the realm of Theoden the king. None ride here save by his leave. Who are you, and what is your haste?"
"Halbarad Dunadan," Ranger of the North I am," cried the man. "We seek one Aragorn, son of Arathorn, and we heard that he was in Rohan." "And you have found him also," cried Aragorn. Giving his reins to Merry, he ran forward and embraced the newcomer. "Halbarad," he said, "of all joys, this is the least expected." Merry breathed a sigh of relief. He'd thought that this was some last trick of Saruman's, to waylay the king while he had only a few men about him. But it seemed that there would be no need to die in Theoden's defense, not yet at any rate. He sheathed his sword. "All is well," said Aragorn, turning back. "Here are some of my own kin from the far land where I dwelt. But why they come, and how many they be, Halbarad shall tell us." "I have 30 with me," said Halbarad. "That is all of our kindred that could be gathered in haste. But the brethren Eladan and Elro here have ridden with us, desiring to go to the war. We rode as swiftly as we might when your summons came."
"But I didn't summon you," said Aragorn, "save only in wish. My thoughts have often turned to you, and seldom more than tonight. Yet I've sent no word. But come, all such matters must wait. You find us riding in haste and danger. Ride with us now, if the king will give his leave." Theoden was indeed glad of the news. "It is well," he said. "If these kinsmen be in any way like to yourself, my lord Aragorn, 30 such knights will be a strength that cannot be counted by heads." Then the riders set out again, and Aragorn for a while rode with the Dúnedain. And when they had spoken of tidings in the north and in the south, Elro here said to him, "I bring word to you from my father. The days are short. If thou art in haste, remember the paths of the dead."
"Always my days have seemed to me too short to achieve my desire," answered Aragorn. "But great indeed will be my haste ere I take that road."
"That will soon be seen," said Elro here. "But let us speak no more of these things upon the open road."
And Aragorn said to Halbarad,
"What is that that you bear, kinsman?" For he saw that instead of a spear he bore a tall staff, as it were a standard, but it was close furled in a black cloth bound about with many thongs.
"It is a gift that I bring you from the Lady of Rivendell," answered Halbarad. "She wrought it in secret, and long was the making, but she also sends words to you. The days now are short. Either our hope cometh, or all hopes end. Therefore I send thee what I have made for thee. Farewell, Elfstone."
And Aragorn said, "Now I know what you bear. Bear it still for me a while." And he turned and looked away to the north under the great stars, and then he fell silent and spoke no more while the night's journey lasted. The night was old and the east grey when they rode up at last from Deeping Coombe and came back to the Hornburg. There they were to lie and rest for a brief while and take counsel. Merry slept until he was roused by Legolas and Gimli.
"The sun is high," said Legolas. "All others are up and doing. Come, Master Sluggard, and look at this place while you may."
"There was a battle here 3 nights ago," said Gimli, "and here Legolas and I played a game that I won only by a single orc. Come and see how it was. And there are caves, Merry, caves of wonder. Shall we visit them, Legolas, do you think?"
"Nay, there is no time," said the elf. "Do not spoil the wonder with haste. I have given you my word to return hither with you if a day of peace and freedom comes again. But it is now near to noon, and at that hour we eat, and then we set out again, I hear."
Merry got up and yawned. His few hours' sleep had not been nearly enough. He was tired and rather dismal. He missed Pippin, and felt that he was only a burden, while everybody was making plans for speed in a business that he didn't fully understand.
"Where's Aragorn?" he asked.
"In a high chamber of the burg," said Legolas. "He has neither rested nor slept, I think.
He went thither some hours ago, saying that he must take thought, and only his kinsman, Halbered, went with him. But some dark doubt or care sits on him.
They're a strange company, these newcomers, said Gimli. Stout men and lordly they are, and the riders of Rohan look almost as boys beside them, for they are grim men of face, worn like weathered rocks for the most part, even as Aragorn himself, and they are silent.
But even as Aragorn they are courteous if they break their silence, said Legolas. And have you marked the brethren Eladan and Elrohir? Less somber is their gear than the others, and they are fair and gallant as elven lords, and that is not to be wondered at in the sons of Elrond of Rivendell.
Why have they come, have you heard? Asked Merry.
He had now dressed, and he flung his grey cloak about his shoulders, and the three passed out together towards the ruined gate of the burg.
They answered a summons, as you heard, said Gimli. Word came to Rivendell, they say. Aragorn has need of his kindred. Let the Dúnedain ride to him in Rohan. But whence this message came, they are now in doubt. Gandalf sent it, I would guess.
Nay, Galadriel, said Legolas. Did she not speak through Gandalf of the ride of the Grey Company from the north?
Yes, you have it, said Gimli. The Lady of the Wood, she read many hearts and desires. Now why did not we wish for some of our own kinsfolk, Legolas?
Legolas stood before the gate and turned his bright eyes away north and east, and his fair face was troubled. I do not think that any would come, he answered. They have no need to ride to war. War already marches on their own lands. For a while the three companions walked together, speaking of this and of that turn of the battle, and they went down from the broken gate and past the mounds of the fallen on the greensward beside the road, until they stood on Helm's Dyke and looked into the coombe. The Death Down already stood there, black and tall and stony, and the great trampling and scoring of the grass by the Huons could be plainly seen. The Dunlendings and many men of the garrison of the burg were at work on the dyke, or in the fields and about the battered walls behind, yet all seemed strangely quiet, a weary valley resting after a great storm. Soon they turned back and went to the midday meal in the hall of the burg. The king was already there, and as soon as they entered, he called for Merry and had a seat set for him at his side.
It is not as I would have it, said Theoden, for this is little like my fair house in Edoras, and your friend is gone, who should also be here, but it may be long ere we sit, you and I, at the high table in Meadowseld. There will be no time for feasting when I return thither. But come now, eat and drink, and let us speak together while we may, and then you shall ride with me.
May I? Said Merry, surprised and delighted. That would be splendid.
He had never felt more grateful for any kindness in words. I'm afraid I'm only in everybody's way, he stammered, but I should like to do anything I could, you know.
I doubt it not, said the king. I've had a good hill pony made ready for you. He will bear you as swift as any horse by the roads that we shall take. For I will ride from the burg by mountain paths, not by the plain, and so come to Edoras by way of Dunharrow, where the Lady Eowyn awaits me. You shall be my esquire, if you will. Is there gear of war in this place, Eomer, that my sword thane could use?
There are no great weapon hoards here, lord, answered Eomer. Maybe a light helm might be found to fit him, but we have no mail or sword for one of his stature.
I have a sword, said Merry, climbing from his seat, and drawing from its black sheath his small bright blade.
Filled suddenly with love for this old man, he knelt on one knee, and took his hand and kissed it. May I lay the sword of Merry Adoc of the Shire on your lap, Theoden King? He cried. Receive my service, if you will.
Gladly will I take it, said the king,
and laying his long old hands upon the brown hair of the hobbit, he blessed him.
Rise now, Merry Adoc, esquire of Rohan, of the household of Meadowseld, he said. Take your sword and bear it unto good fortune.
As a father you shall be to me, said Merry.
For a little while, said Theoden.
They talked then together as they ate, until presently Eomer spoke.
It is near the hour that we set for our going, Lord, he said. Shall I bid men sound the horns? But where's Aragorn? His place is empty, and he hasn't eaten.
We will make ready to ride, said Theoden. But let word be sent to the Lord Aragorn that the hour is nigh.
The king with his guard and Merry at his side passed down from the gate of the burg to where the riders were assembling on the green. Many were already mounted. It would be a great company, for the king was leaving only a small garrison in the burg, and all who could be spared were riding to the weapon-take at Edoras. 1,000 spears had indeed already ridden away at night, but still there would be some 500 more to go with the king, for the most part men from the fields and dales of Westfold. A little apart the rangers sat, silent, in an ordered company, armed with spear and bow and sword. They were clad in cloaks of dark grey, and their hoods were cast now over helm and head. Their horses were strong and of proud bearing, but rough-haired, and one stood there without a rider, Aragorn's own horse that they had brought from the north. Roheron was his name. There was no gleam of stone or gold, nor any fair thing in all their gear and harness, nor did their riders bear any badge or token, save only that each cloak was pinned upon the left shoulder by a brooch of silver shaped like a rayed star. The king mounted his horse, Snowmane, and Merry sat beside him on his pony. Stibber was his name. Presently Eomer came out from the gate, and with him was Aragorn, and Halberad bearing the great staff close furled in black, and two tall men, neither young nor old. So much alike were they, the sons of Elrond, that few could tell them apart. Dark-haired, grey-eyed, and their faces elven fair, clad alike in bright mail beneath the cloaks of silver grey. Behind them walked Legolas and Gimli. But Merry had eyes only for Aragorn, so startling was the change that he saw in him, as if in one night many years had fallen on his head. Grim was his face, grey-hued and weary. "I'm troubled in mind, Lord," he said, standing by the king's horse. "I've heard strange words, and I see new perils far off. I've laboured long in thought, and now I fear that I must change my purpose. Tell me, Theoden, you ride now to Dunharrow. How long will it be ere you come there?"
"It is now a full hour past noon," said Eomer. "Before the night of the third day from now we should come to the hold. The moon will then be one night past his full, and the muster that the king commanded will be held the day after. More speed we cannot make, if the strength of Rohan is to be gathered." Aragorn was silent for a moment.
3 days, he murmured, "and the muster of Rohan will only be begun. But I see that it cannot now be hastened."
He looked up, and it seemed that he had made some decision. His face was less troubled.
"Then, by your leave, Lord, I must take new counsel for myself and my kindred. We must ride our own road, and no longer in secret. For me the time of stealth is past. I will ride east by the swiftest way, and I will take the paths of the dead."
"The paths of the dead?" said Theoden, and trembled. "Why do you speak of them?"
Eomer turned and gazed at Aragorn, and it seemed to Merry that the faces of the riders that sat within hearing turned pale at the words.
"If there be in truth such paths," said Theoden, "their gate is in Dunharrow, but no living man may pass it."
"Alas, Aragorn, my friend," said Eomer, "I had hoped that we should ride to war together, but if you seek the paths of the dead, then our parting is come, and it is little likely that we shall ever meet again under the sun."
"That road I will take nonetheless," said Aragorn. "But I say to you, Eomer, that in battle we may yet meet again, though all the hosts of Mordor should stand between."
"You will do as you will, my lord Aragorn," said Theoden. "It is your doom, maybe, to tread strange paths that others dare not."
This parting grieves me, and my strength is lessened by it. But now I must take the mountain roads and delay no longer. Farewell.
Farewell, Lord, said Aragorn. Ride unto great renown. Farewell, Merry. I leave you in good hands, better than we hoped when we hunted the orcs to Fangorn. Legolas and Gimli will still hunt with me, I hope, but we shall not forget you.
Goodbye, said Merry. He could find no more to say. He felt very small, and he was puzzled and depressed by all these gloomy words. More than ever, he missed the unquenchable cheerfulness of Pippin. The riders were ready, and their horses were fidgeting. He wished they would start and get it over. Now Théoden spoke to Éomer, and he lifted up his hand and cried aloud, and with that word the riders set forth. They rode over the dyke and down the coombe, and then, turning swiftly eastwards, they took a path that skirted the foothills for a mile or so, until, bending south, it passed back among the hills and disappeared from view. Aragorn rode to the dyke and watched till the king's men were far down the coombe. Then he turned to Halbered.
There go three that I love,